This Week in Agriculture is a presentation of the Red River Farm Network. I'm Jamie Dickerman with This Week in the Markets. New trade developments in Southeast Asia and easing tensions with China sparking cautious optimism for U.S. agriculture. NDSU Extension crops economist Frayne Olson says the recent agreements show promise for soybean exports.
There's two pieces of news that are interconnected, but they're separate pieces. The first is we've got agreements now that are going to be signed between the U.S. and Malaysia, Cambodia, and Thailand. There's a framework agreement with Vietnam. So that block of, there's a, you know, sector of Southeast Asian countries. I hate to lump them too much into one big bucket here, but they have similar needs. They do buy some soybeans from us already. I think, in my opinion, there's some expansion possibilities for additional sales of soybean meal into those regions.
Farmers likely facing higher prices for inputs in 2026, a result of tariffs and international trade, but the impact is not a one-size-fits-all. Farmers Business Network Vice President of Category Management, John Appel, says some products will see greater price hikes than others.
Products like S-metolachlor, clethodim, dicamba, those will be subject to the maximum amount of tariffs. There's no exemptions or anything like that. And also products like 2,4-D is not only subject to significant tariffs in China and India, but also anti-dumping and countervailing duties from a Corteva lawsuit last year. And so this significantly impacts the price of 2,4-D. And we've seen that play out throughout 2025, that the cost of that product has significantly increased in the market.
Cattle market seeing extreme swings in recent weeks, with prices falling sharply after hitting record highs earlier in the month. Beef industry expert Cassandra Fish says volatility and policy uncertainty driving fear across the cattle sector.
We have been in a long-term bull market for 5.5 years. We've had incredible demand, beef demand in 2025, which took the beef cutout value to the highest level ever for 16. It's been an incredible run. The fundamentals, though, have not changed. We still have the tightest fed cattle supplies ahead of us, and we still have not begun to, we've stabilized the U.S. beef cow herd, but we've not begun to expand it. And so we are still looking at another, 2 to 4 years of the market being able to really appreciably increase.
Beef markets keeping a close eye on international trade developments as reports surface about increased Argentine beef imports and possible tariff changes with Brazil. Terrain animal protein analyst Don Close says while Argentina's expanded quota created market noise, the actual impact will likely be pretty minimal.
If you take the tariff rates that were imposed for that product coming in, and the point that most people haven't talked about, Argentina has a 6.75% export tax on product leaving Argentina. So you add their tariff tax to U.S. tariffs. I would vehemently argue that product arriving the East Coast wouldn't have been any cheaper than U.S. domestic 90% lean at all, and could very easily actually be higher than domestic product. So I don't think Argentina was ever that big a threat.
Gold prices higher in early trade as investors react to the new U.S.-China trade deal and a firmer outlook from the Federal Reserve. December futures in New York up 0.4% at $4,032 an ounce, recovering after dipping below $4,000 earlier in the week. That's a look at This Week in the Markets. I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network.
North Dakota Farmers Union.
Join North Dakota Farmers Union in celebrating the International Year of Cooperatives, and October is Co-op Month. Co-ops are unique member-owned businesses woven into the fabric of North Dakota. From farmer-owned cooperatives to rural electrics to credit unions and more, cooperatives provide vital services and products to people everywhere. Co-op Month is a great time to stop by your local co-op and say thank you for making our communities a better place to live.
North Dakota Farmers Union.
Sign up for the Red River Farm Network's weekly e-newsletter. FarmNet News arrives in your inbox every Monday morning. American Sugar Beet Growers Association President Neil Rockstead is a subscriber.
That weekly email that the Red River Farm Network comes out with is my go-to place for ag news. If there's only one thing that I read all week in regards to ag news in the Red River Valley and nationwide, it's always your email, hands down.
FarmNet News, delivering news to your email every Monday. Subscribe at rrfn.com.
With a look at this week in the news, I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network. United States can again look to China as a customer for soybeans and other ag products. Ag trade was a big part of the 90-minute meeting President Donald Trump and his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping. Trump briefed the media on Air Force One after the meeting.
Tremendous amounts of the soybeans and other farm products are going to be purchased immediately, starting immediately. If you notice, President Xi authorized yesterday for China to start, did you know that, right? China to start buying in very large quantities of soybeans and other things, which I appreciate, and that was a very nice gesture.
Ahead of the meeting, China purchasing three cargoes of U.S. soybeans. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said China agreeing to purchase 12 million metric tons of U.S. soybeans this season. Following Trump's meeting with the Chinese president, the commitment is part of a larger agreement that includes at least 25 million metric tons of soybean purchases each year for the next 3 years. Bessent telling Fox Business Trump's Asia trip could bring up to $2 trillion in new U.S. investments. The budget reconciliation bill that passed this summer included the update to reference prices, crop insurance adjustments, and redirected Inflation Reduction Act funds to high-demand conservation programs. South Dakota Congressman Dusty Johnson says more work needs to be done with the skinny farm bill.
We should absolutely get a skinny farm bill done before the end of the year, but I don't want to lie to you either. I mean, this shutdown has just created an absolute traffic jam between now and the end of the year. We got the annual defense bill we got to get done. We've got the appropriating money for the rest of the year. We've got this skinny farm bill. Not all of that's going to get done, and that is going to create a real problem.
The government shutdown has lasted a month, and there's no end in sight. The Supreme Court scheduled to hear arguments regarding President Trump's use of emergency tariffs on November 5th. The National Taxpayers Union has released a letter signed by 465 economists saying the continuation of these tariffs is a great threat to the U.S. economy. A group of Democrats in Congress has also filed a friend of the court brief with the court claiming Trump illegally imposed tariffs under the Emergency Economic Powers Act. North Dakota Congresswoman Julie Fedorchak urging President Trump to reject the idea of increasing beef imports from Argentina. Fedorchak says U.S. cattle producers are ready and able to meet growing consumer demand without relying on foreign supply.
Well, the minute I heard these comments and this potential, I got busy and reached out to my colleagues and led a letter to President Trump signed by seven other House Republicans, urging him, first of all, for clarity on what exactly his plans are, and then most importantly, suggesting that here's a great opportunity for an American first solution. We have cattle producers, North Dakota cattle producers, are excited about the opportunity to meet this growing demand for beef.
In a closed-door meeting with Vice President J.D. Vance, Senate Republicans blasting the administration's plan to import Argentine beef. The lawmaker said farmers and ranchers have been some of the president's biggest supporters, but were thrown out with the decision to quadruple the amount of beef imported from Argentina. Cattle prices tanked since the issue surfaced at mid-month. Senate Majority Leader John Thune said the Trump comments ran counter to his America First philosophy. The Senate voting 50-46 to repeal President Trump's tariffs on Canada. That follows a similar vote Tuesday regarding the tariffs placed on Brazil. A handful of Senate Republicans rejecting the president's tariff strategy and voted with the Democrats on these two resolutions. The move is seen as largely symbolic because the House is not expected to bring the same language up for a vote. This week in news from the Red River Farm Network, I'm Jamie Dickerman.
In the heart of every successful farm, trust is the seed that grows the strongest bonds.
At Proceed, we're not just a company. We're a community built on trust and family values.
Our dedicated employees are passionate about supporting local farmers like you.
We know your challenges because we've walked the same paths, sowed the same seeds.
We believe in building relationships that go beyond business. Relationships grounded in trust and mutual respect.
Because at Proceed, you're not just a customer. You're part of our family.
Harvest Hotline brings you daily updates with farmers, custom harvesters, elevator managers, and more. Get the latest on harvest progress, yields, and what's happening in the field. Harvest Hotline can be heard weekdays at 12:37 during Agriculture Today. Harvest Hotline brought to you by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, North Dakota Mill, and U.S. Custom Harvesters. We're the Red River Farm Network.
reporting agriculture's business.
With a look at the weather this week in agriculture, I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network. Harvest progress in central North Dakota slowing to a standstill after several rounds of rain. Mandan area farmer Dennis Renner says most of his corn and soybeans are done.
We've harvested a fair amount of corn. It's been going pretty well. We finished up the beans. The corn was coming off, you know, pretty dry in some cases because of the frost earlier, and then that warm, dry wind dried things down. I think some of the corn we had combined was at 14% moisture.
Sugar beet harvest in the Red River Valley nearly complete. Red River Valley Sugar Beet Growers Executive Director Harrison Weber says the weather slowed progress in recent days, but growers are pushing to finish strong.
Yeah, last number of days here with that rain system coming through really put a stop to the guys that are trying to wrap things up. We are sitting at 97.23% complete at American Crystal and as of today, and I think a couple of the stations up north are going to open for the guys that can go, and so we just need a little more heat, need a little more sun. To wrap things up here for the 2025 sugar beet harvest.
Sugar beet harvest almost done for Mindac Farmers Cooperative. Executive Vice President Mike Metzger says just a few growers still out in the field as wet weather slows things down.
Yeah, the harvest continues, but as the doomsday prophecy goes, the end is near, right? We've got about 1,300 acres left down here spread out between seven growers. Most of them are up on the north end of our area. They are one the wettest and two have the highest yield. So naturally those guys have a little bit longer harvest ahead of them than some of the other rain plagued areas over the summer.
Harvest wrapping up across the southeast corner of North Dakota. Windmere area farmer Carson Klosterman says progress has been steady and many fields could be finished soon if the weather can hold.
I'd say in the southeast corner of the state, if the rain stays away with little to no delay, there'll be a lot of stuff wrapped up. Sugar beet harvest in this area is coming to an end. The guys who didn't have beets to deal with have had some good weather combining corn. They're getting close to done. By the end of this week, there'll be a lot of stuff wrapped up.
Corn harvest winding down in the same area. Oaks area farmer Scott German said most producers wrapping up the season with solid yields and favorable harvest conditions.
Coming along pretty good. I'd say most guys are on the downhill side of corn harvest. I think bean harvest has essentially been down here for a while, maybe a token otter end here or there. But corn harvest, yes, it's on the downhill slide pretty fast. I think overall guys are pretty happy with their yields, you know. Have that field that may get a little excess water there in August, but I think for the most part the yield has been pretty good. Moistures are coming down under that 20%, so that makes things go a lot faster as well.
In northwest Minnesota, harvest conditions wrapping up unevenly as wet weather continues to challenge farmers. Roseau area farmer Richard Magnuson says while his own harvest is done, many others still fighting mud and standing water.
That kind of areas on our own farm, we're done with harvest. Still have some field work we could do, but it's awfully wet around the area. You know, there's still corn and soybeans and sunflowers out in the fields and areas yet.
Magnuson says despite the wet finish, yield's been pretty good around the area.
Yeah, pretty good season other than it's been a miserable harvest for a lot of guys. But depends on the area. West of Roseau, it's been real wet for the last month. Okay. I mean, the point that the only way to travel is kind of on tracks or they're in the mud all the time.
That's a look at this week in weather. I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network.
The Minnesota Corn Checkoff is a small investment with a big impact. Each year, checkoff funds support on-farm research that improves the productivity and efficiency of corn farming. Checkoff-supported programs also help create new uses for corn and ethanol, open doors to new markets around the world, and develop the next generation of farmers and ag leaders, delivering opportunities for corn farmers, rural economies, and the future of agriculture. That's the Minnesota Corn Checkoff. Learn more at checkoffdelivers.org.
Imagine this. You gather a stadium full of farmers, step up to the podium, and tell them about your business. What would that be worth to you and your company? This is Don Wick from the Red River Farm Network. We fill that stadium every day with some of the most progressive-minded, forward-thinking farmers and ranchers around the world. Find out how the Red River Farm Network can carry your message to farmers and ranchers. We're the Red River Farm Network, and we're reporting agriculture's business.